kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Picture Show on News Talk.
Rachel, in your film you play Ronit Kroski, a photographer living in New York who, on the death of her estranged father, returns to the London Jewish Orthodox community that shunned her years earlier for an attraction to a childhood friend. Now she is greeted with resentment and mistrust, and while the old passion is reignited, Ronit is also reminded exactly why she left in the first place. Would you go along with that summary, Rachel?
Yeah, that's a really good that you've summed it up. There are other things that happen, but that is a really good way to introduce the film. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Now, as well as the star, you're the producer in the movie. How did it come to you? Have you had it for a long time?
Well, I'm the producer in that I found the novel. I was looking for some material to a story to tell and something to also act in. And I was looking for something where there would be more than one female lead. So I ended up reading books about female friendship and then ultimately books about female love, so lesbian novels. And I came across Disobedience and optioned it and then took it to Frida Torres Blanco, a producer who knew Sebastian Lelio, the director, and that's how it began. So it didn't come to me. I found it.
So you went looking for this. You went looking.
I went on the hunt for a story. Yeah.
Now, when you saw the director Lelio's film, I think it was Gloria, you said, I saw an interview where you said you were surprised to learn that he had directed it, that you would have a better life, that it was done by a gay man. In fact, he wasn't, he was straight.
Yeah, I did. I just didn't, sorry to be, pessimistic about heterosexual men. I love heterosexual men.
I'm sure you do, yes.
But there was something about the storytelling and the kind of certain freedom that this female leading character had that I saw his name as the director. I hadn't met him, and I made a cultural assumption about him, and I assumed he was gay.
Yeah.
He's not.
So it was the wrong cultural assessment.
It was. I put him in the wrong box.
Yeah. Now, you said that you taught in playing Esty. I think you were thinking about that part first. Were you thinking about the part that went to Rachel McAdams first?
No, I mean, I think I was all... Sebastian and I was taught... Sebastian Lelio, the director, and I was talked about Ronit. And there was a moment where I said, oh, maybe Esty. And he said, no, absolutely. He was very sure. So, as an actor, you feel like you could play any of the parts, but it was really always Ronit.
Yeah, and I think Rachel McAdams was the first person, as I understand it, that you went to. Did you say you were impressed by the kind of passion in the way she responded?
Yes, she read the script and she responded very passionately, and she just really connected with the part and the story. And she spent 6 months investigating Orthodox Judaism and investigating a British accent, British identity. So it was a really big voyage for her to go from who she is to the imagining herself as this character. But she really immersed herself, and I think you can tell and how beautiful her work is in the film.
Yeah. Now, at this stage in your life and career, do you see one role facilitating the other? Do you see the producer's role facilitating the actor's?
Producing it's sounds like a grand old thing. I mean, I don't get involved in. All I really do as a producer is I find a story that I would like to tell, I'd like to bring to the screen. And then it's the process of finding a team of people, a director, first and foremost, a writer, and a crew, and it, you know, it's finding a community of people to tell a story with. But I guess the only difference between that and being hired for a script that's already written is it's I've chosen the story. I've said, you know what, this is the story I want to tell. This is how I'm going to spend my time in the next X weeks. So it's just, yeah, it's just choosing the story.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I saw a nice quote where you said, you were talking about Sebastian, and you said, Sebastian listens. He definitely, definitely, definitely listens. And can you expand a little bit on that? And how important it is that he listens?
He has a extra special listening quality. He really tunes in to everybody. I think if you spoke to anybody who worked with him on the set, the cinematographer, the makeup, the hair, the lighting, the carpenter, you know, if you talk to him, he really turns his ear towards you, and he makes you feel like there is nothing else he needs to be doing, and that you're the most important person there. But I think he makes everybody feel like that, so that's a very beautiful quality.
Yeah. Now, Ed Gainey, the producer of The Lobster Room and a terrific little movie, I don't know if you've seen it or not, called A Date for Mad Mary. He's also the producer and another film of yours, which is coming up, I think, fairly quickly, called The Favourite. You seem to be enjoy working together, you and Gainey.
Yeah, Ed Gainey is a really special man. He's just wonderful to collaborate with. I mean, on Disobedience, I brought him the novel and Sebastian, and he came on board, and really he's just the most lovely, deep, beautiful soul, and wonderful to work with. Very calm, very very insightful, very wise, lots of fun, and just a wonderful producer on The Favourite and on Lobster, which we did together. He's a real person. He's a real person. Lovely man.
Yeah. Now, Rachel, London is supposed to be hard to film in. I don't know if you've heard this before, but hard to film in because it's full of, well, we're led to believe it's full of uncinematic spaces. Was this a problem for your movie?
I didn't know London was thought to be uncinematic, but I mean, this is set mainly in the northwest London suburb of Hendon, which is, I guess, you wouldn't immediately think is a very cinematic zone of London, but I think because Sebastian is an outsider, he's from Chile, and he didn't know Hendon. He sees it in a particular way, and I think he really aestheticizes it in a certain way. That there's a kind of, even though he's chosen a palette that's very somber and grey, maybe that's what a Chilean person sees in the British weather. But there's something about the kind of architecture that he sees it as if for the first time, and I think it's strangely beautiful. In a way, it's to me very ordinary. I grew up a couple of stops on the Northern Line away from Hendon, and so I grew up looking at that architecture, and I barely notice it. But the way he filmed it made me really see it again in its kind of strange mock Tudor beauty.
Yeah. Now, just finally, can you say something about My Cousin Rachel? I thought My Cousin Rachel was wonderful, and I don't think it got the credit it deserved.
What shall I say? It was a very interesting role. Definitely a role where the character was at the centre of the story and an enigma and a mystery, as she was in the Daphne du Maurier novel. The idea as to whether she's innocent or guilty, as to whether she's a femme fatale poisoner or she's just an innocent victim of the patriarchy, you know, is the mystery that you don't know, and people interpret the film different ways. And it's been really fun for me to hear the people who say, oh, she's definitely guilty, or no, oh no, she's completely innocent. So that's been interesting, and I think it kind of plays with the whole idea of what a femme fatale is. And I guess on film, that's an interesting place to do that, because that's where they live a lot, the femme fatales.
Yeah, well, it's a great, great pleasure to talk to you.
And oh, nice to talk to you.
Good luck with your movie and with The Favourite as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Cheers.
The Picture Show.
Is this where I'm going to be a star?
On News Talk 107.9.